the growing stoush between Labor and the Greens over the Safeguards Mechanism Bill. That bill is all about reducing emissions. Now, the deadline for the bill is looming, but there are no signs that either side is budging. Adam Bandt is the leader of the Greens, and he's our guest this morning. Adam Bandt, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Patricia.
There's just days to go to allow the mechanism to come into force by July the 1st. Are you prepared to tank the whole deal because you can't get what you want?
Well, firstly, we've got a fair bit of sitting to go between now and July the 1st, so there's actually a bit of time to work through it, and I think it's important that we get this right rather than we rush it. Secondly, we've already shifted a lot and have been clear that although we would like to see a phase out of coal that's in the system already, we want to see much stronger targets that mean we might have a chance of saving the Great Barrier Reef, and that we'd rather not use Tony Abbott's reheated mechanism. We've said we're prepared to put all of those concerns aside and support the bill, and we've asked the government to just do what the UN Secretary General this week said that nations like Australia must do if we're to have any chance of stopping the climate crisis, which is stop opening new coal and gas mines. Now, the government has said they want to keep opening new coal and gas mines. They haven't put forward a convincing justification for that. We don't need them to power our economy, and it's going to be harmful. It's going to put a safer climate beyond reach. But we've also said, look, we're open to any suggestions, including from third parties, about how we might deal with the question of new coal and gas. Some have suggested, let's look at a climate trigger, which means that before you approve any new projects, you have to take into account the impact on climate. Others have said, let's look at a pause. Others have said, let's look at the question of thermal coal differently, because I think everyone agrees we don't need any thermal coal. So we're going to continue those negotiations, and we'll continue them in good faith. But the question is, like at the moment, is the policy going to make things better or worse? And the problem is, at the moment, because it backs more coal and gas mines, and even under the government's own modelling, pollution from coal and gas goes up under this system, it's going to make things worse.
Okay, you came up with a few ideas there, a climate trigger, a pause. Are either of those currently being negotiated with the government?
Look, I'm not going to run commentary about how the discussions are going, other than to say we'll continue to have the discussions, and there have been a lot of discussions, and those discussions have been in good faith.
Are they going well? How would you describe the conversations? Are they going well? Are you moving towards a deal? Is there any movement?
They're good faith discussions where I think what we want to see as the Greens is legislation passed that sees pollution go down, not up, right? And I think it should be a fairly uncontroversial position that with coal and gas the leading causes of the climate crisis, if we're going to pass a climate policy in this country, it should stop pollution from coal and gas going up. That's the whole purpose of it.
That's what it will do.
Well, you would think so. And at the moment, there's no evidence it'll do that.
Okay.
In fact, on Labor's modelling, pollution goes up because for two reasons. One is new coal and gas mines keep coming into the system, even though we don't need them and they're actually harmful.
Well, they're saying we might need them. We might need them as a transition fuel.
Does anyone really believe that we need new thermal coal? The government's own projections say that in 2030, Australia is going to be running on 82% renewables, right? Now, the Parliamentary Library has had a look at this and made it crystal clear that there's enough coal in the system to already power our economy and to help us through the transition. Now, you've got the UN Secretary General saying what our Pacific Island neighbours are saying and the scientists are saying this week, which is countries like Australia have to stop opening up thermal coal mines. There's zero justification for opening up new thermal coal.
So let's get to what you might be able to do. Would you accept a legally binding total emissions cap on the mechanism?
Well, one of the ideas that has been put forward by others, there's a flaw in the scheme at the moment. The flaw in the scheme is that pollution can actually go up, not down, for reasons that I've just said. And first reason is that new coal and gas mines are allowed to open. The second is that coal and gas don't actually have to cut their pollution. They just have to buy some tree planting permits on the other side of the country and say that they're contributing to pollution going down, which, as as has been made clear this week from the UN and the IPCC, that is not going to tackle the climate crisis. Now, what we've said, what others have said, is, well, why not put something in the legislation that actually requires pollution to go down so that these corporations can't offset their way out of the crisis?
So if you
That's something we would look at.
Okay, so if you could get a legally binding total emissions cap, that's something that could get you over the line?
We've said we'll look at any suggestions in good faith because what this is about is trying to ensure that pollution comes down in this country and that we're trying to put the fire out, and you can't put the fire out while you're pouring petrol on it, right?
Okay.
The first step in fixing a problem is to stop making the problem worse.
So on that
and
question...
And allowing new coal and gas mines to open and just say that they're offsetting, that is potentially... Well, that will make the problem worse.
So on that question of something legally binding, has the government given you any indication that it's willing to talk about amendments to that effect?
Look, again, I don't want to run, and I know that I can appreciate that might be frustrating for you, Patricia.
Very.
You're asking fair enough questions.
And if that's where you're moving towards, so we can get an indication across the country that is there some movement where you're closer to each other, or are you both going to... You know, it depends who you ask politically, but, you know, you're blaming each other. But ultimately, you can't have this fall over, can you?
Well, we've made the point from the beginning that we'll have discussions in good faith, and the parliament, the people voted at the last election for a parliament that would actually take climate action, and the parties that defended coal and gas and more coal and gas saw their votes go backwards, and parties like the Greens that said, no, we need to stop opening new coal and gas mines, saw their vote go up. And we're now in a situation where the government's vote went backwards at the last election, and...
Sure, they're the political points, but I just want to get to the actual, I don't mean to be rude, but I want to get to the substance. I understand the politics, and everyone has their own take on that, right? I spoke with Jackie Lambie yesterday. She said it would be your fault, the Greens' fault, if this doesn't go through. Is that the political risk for you, that if you don't do a deal here, that people will be very frustrated that they voted for a parliament to take some action to reduce emissions?
Well, look, you know, 57% of the population does not want to open new coal and gas mines, and I think there's a very clear message coming through there. Secondly, you know, got a lot of time for Jackie Lambie, but we had an emissions trading scheme in this country, and she was part of a party that voted to repeal it. So let's not get too carried away with the spin here. We're in a climate crisis, as the UN Secretary General has made clear. The decisions that we make now will reverberate for generations to come. And the big decisions that we've got to make are, do we open new coal and gas mines or not? And at the moment, as has been made clear, one of the sticking points is that the government wants to keep opening new coal and gas mines and we don't. We, in this parliament, where power is shared, because that's what the Australian people wanted, everyone is going to need to shift a bit. And I know the government says that they want to keep, that they think there's a case for opening new coal and gas mines, but I haven't heard a convincing justification.
But you've already indicated to me,
for example,
in this interview, that you were, if there's something legally binding, that you're willing to move to that instead of banning new coal and gas. Is that right?
We're willing to look at all the proposals that are put on the table in good faith to see if we can find a way through, because
everyone is going to need to give a bit on new coal and gas, right?
Everyone is going to need to give a bit in this, Patricia, because no one has a majority in both houses of parliament, and certainly not the government. And I make the point that the real thing that we're trying to tackle here is to stop pollution from coal and gas going up, because that is the cause of the climate crisis. And under the government's model at the moment, they want to open new coal and gas mines, and pollution from coal and gas is forecast to go up. That is a problem. We're prepared to work with them to see if we can find a way through, but really the ball is in the government's court to explain why they want to keep opening more coal and gas mines.
Okay, but what you're indicating, as far as I'm interpreting it in this interview, is that this line, no new coal and gas, that you could abandon that as a blanket demand if you were able to reduce emissions another way by making it legally binding.
Oh, look, Patricia, I've said from day one that this was an offer, not an ultimatum. And from the very first interviews that we did on this, we've said very clearly we're prepared to look at proposals in good faith that help us find a way through this. And so this question, we still haven't heard a convincing justification from the government about why they want to open more coal and gas. We've got enough coal and gas in the system to power us through the transition. We don't need new stuff, so why do they want to open it? But we've said from the very beginning, we will look at any good faith proposals that tackle this question of coal and gas, but we've got to tackle this question of coal and gas, and Labor's continual desire to keep opening up more coal and gas mines in the middle of the climate crisis. But look, we've said from the beginning,
will you commit,
we will
though,
look at any proposals in good faith.
Will you commit, though, to doing every single thing you possibly can to make sure that this gets up by July 1, but not being a roadblock to this being able to start on July 1?
We have been working very hard over previous weeks and months good faith negotiations with the government. We'll continue that. We'll continue that for as long as necessary. If Parliament has to sit a bit longer to ensure this gets through, then so be it. This is important, but it's got to do something, right? It's got to cut pollution. And if these coal and gas corporations are just allowed to continue to keep opening up and continue to say, oh, well, our pollution's going up, but we've bought a few tree planting permits on the other side of the country, then we are not going to tackle the climate crisis. And that is the issue that we're trying to work through. And I still haven't heard a convincing explanation from the government about why they want more coal and gas.
Just finally, you're calling for more dangerous and violent right-wing groups to be urgently listed as terrorist organisations. Your colleague, Senator David Shoebridge, said the group doing the Nazi salute on the steps of the Victorian Parliament appear to meet the criteria. What do you think they should be listed as terrorists? Is that what the Greens are calling for?
Well, we're saying very clearly there's no place in society for the anti-trans hate speech that occurred in Melbourne over the weekend. There's no place in this country for neo-Nazis or anyone who associates with these violent and abhorrent views. The rise of neo-Nazis and right-wing extremism in this country is something we should all be worried about. We've seen that they will target a variety of different groups. The security services have previously said under the previous government that this is one of the rising causes of concern for them. We're saying we need to name the disturbing rise of the far right in this country for what it is, because it is a threat to people in our society. It is a threat to our democracy, and we need to take actions to stamp it out.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the Greens leader, Adam Band.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.